I have a real burden this morning to do something, and I don't know how to do it. How do you change an attitude? I was told yesterday that I have a bad attitude. Just on one area, Mr. Bradley, one there. And I argued, it's not me, it's you. I actually began working on this sermon last Sunday, and I think we've got it pretty much completed. But my concern today is not just in delivering the information or the content, but what the end result will really be. Two ladies were talking to each other about their pastor, and one lady says, my pastor is so good, he takes any subject and talks a whole hour about it. And the other lady said, well, that's nothing. She says, my pastor is so good that he can talk a whole hour and not even have a subject. And looking at our clock here, it's only 15 after 10. So I have a lot of time to develop this theme today. But I really wish I could have some help. I really do. I wish I had four volunteers today who would come up here and stand with me and let me ask you some simple questions. That's all I want to do. I would like four volunteers. Do I have four volunteers today? Come on, I just need four people. Now don't everybody jump up at one time. Come on, Larry. Here's one. I want to put Mr. Bradley on the spot. Come on up here. It's okay to have a visitor. Would you come up on the platform right here? How about another lady to join these two men right here? I just got some simple questions. I know you can answer. Oh, good. Somebody from the newspaper. Good.
I'm used to asking the questions, not being asked.
Well, I'm sure you'll get back at me sooner or later. Question today is this. What is the difference between get and got? Get, G-E-T, and G-O-T. Get and got. I was sitting here a while ago and Larry turned to me and he said, is this a Southern thing? Now remember, the whole sermon here is about an attitude change that I want to see us each have. But my question today, and let's begin with Misty. You see her photographs in the Dalton Citizen all the time. She had a good one in there last week of several people you would know. Misty, what's the difference in get and got? If I say, I got to go to Dairy Queen, or I get to go to Dairy Queen, what's the difference? Step up to the microphone. This is being recorded. This goes to almost 400 different countries.
Get is a process of doing something, and got is you've already done it. But as you use the tenses, you get to do it, that makes it sound like, oh, it's a privilege. Oh, I get to do that. Yay. Happy. I've got to go do that. That means that the burden's on you. You feel more burdened by it. You don't want to do it. You feel obliged to do it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to go do it. How's that?
Becky, step to the microphone, please. And tell us from wisdom here the difference between get and got.
Get is a future blessing, and got is one that you've already received.
Okay. We'll come back to you again in a minute. Larry? Please come to the microphone.
attitude.
Okay, embellish that just a little bit. Now remember, he's coming from a military perspective. He's not used to taking orders. He's accustomed to giving orders. And so when I say to him, you've got to come to the microphone.
Then I've got to come to the microphone.
Yes. Yeah. And that may be a little different than getting to come to the microphone.
Yeah.
And why is that?
The one, you're putting pressure on me.
Okay.
It's a privilege. Or it's an order. It's the attitude you bring to that.
We actually have commandments in Scripture, don't we? And we're kind of going that direction that we either got to do or we get to do. Mr. Bradley's going to give us a legal perspective.
For those of you who don't know what I do, I'm a Superior Court judge, and there is a lot of difference from somebody's receiving, I get to go to prison versus I got to go to prison.
I was not expecting that. Now, don't leave me yet. I brought with me this morning this book. You can see it here on the platform. This book is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And I purchased this book, I wrote it down right here, in March of 1978. And I've probably used this concordance as much as any concordance that I have. And I want to look up the word here today, the word got. And as a matter of fact, I want to read you the meaning that Strong's Concordance gives to the word got. Comes from the root word here. It's 7069. Now, anybody that does a pulpit work, anybody that's a preacher, they use this book, if not in hard copy, at least on the computer. But I want to read you something and see if this makes any sense to you at all. This word right here means, out of the primary root, to erect, to create, by extension, to procure, especially by purchase, by implication, to own, to attain, buy, teach to keep cattle, to get, provoke, possess, purchase, recover, and redeem. That's a little bit nebulous, isn't it? That's God. Now, we're going to look at another word that's translated God also, and this one is found right here. I just love having y'all stand here. I don't know why this is so special. Now, I want to read this and then ask you to comment on it. This is also another word translated God. Now, there's no place in the King James in the New Testament it uses the word get. It's just not there. Or got. You cannot find those. It's translated usually like must. You must be born again. That seems to be better than you got to be born again, or you get to be born again would certainly add to the meaning. But this word right here, now listen to this. And if you're studying, just think what you could do with this word. out of the primary root here, it means to do or make in the broadest sense and widest application as follows. To accomplish, advance, appoint, apt, to be at, become, bear, bestow, bring forth, bruise, be busy, certainly have the charge of, to commit, to deal with, or displeasure, or certain things you could do. Like, ready, I got dressed, I got to exercise. That's a dirty word around here. We don't use it very often. Fashion, feast, finish, fit, fly, follow, fulfill, furnish, gather. Yes, always get. That's the good translation. Go about, govern, grant, great, hinder, hold, to be industrious, journey, keep, labor, maintain, make, be met, observe, be occupied, offer, officer, bring to pass, perform, practice, prepare, procure, provide, put, requite, sacrifice, serve, set, show, spend, surely, take, thoroughly, trim. Now, what shall we do with this? I honestly want to know the difference between get and got. I need one more person. I need somebody to come to the front and read Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 8. Actually, verses 7 and 8. Anybody? Ecclesiastes 2, verses 7 and 8. Come to the microphone, Judy, please. We have people all over the world that download these sermons and listen to them because Chatsworth Church is so popular.
Ecclesiastes 2, 7 and 8.
Yes.
I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces, and I acquired men and women singers in a harem as well, the delights of the heart of a man.
Translated acquired, thank you, Judy. Translated acquired there, he says, I acquired all the desires of the heart of a man. I got them. Would there be any difference to you, Misty, if in his attitude it was a privilege for me to get versus got? See, I started this. I thought it would be so simple to explain the difference between got and get. And here we are. We don't know exactly how to define it. Smartest man that ever lived. The New King James translates it, I acquired. Old King James says, I got it. Does any of that stand out at all? Not really, does it? That's not anything just bubbling over. Let's extend this a little bit here today. What about the idea of going to heaven from Chatsworth, Georgia? There are certain things that we've got to do. Are you with me? Certain things are a necessity. But I think every idea that you can originate as you use the word got, you could use the word get. Let's just narrow it down to what we're doing here this morning. Did any of you say today, it's getting late, we've got to go? That's one use of the word got. It's getting late, the storm is coming, I've got to go. And where are you coming? You're going to church. Is there a difference in having the attitude, I've got to go to church, and the attitude, I get to go to church? Mr. Bradley.
Let me back up just a minute and go back to the old biblical Jewish community. They had an attitude when Sabbath was coming on that they were entitled to something special. They were going to get to observe the Sabbath. And when you talk to some of the kids over at GCA and other places, well, we've got to observe the Sabbath. And that may be the same attitude we have about going to heaven. Do we get to go to heaven, or do we got to go to heaven? And I think that it's one of a sort of a past tense, one's a future tense to me. And the future tense is looking forward to something, and the other one's being compelled to do something.
Okay. Dr. Smedley, if I were to say to you, I've got to pay my tithe, do you see a difference in that and I get to return my tithe?
Paul says in Corinthians that we should be happy givers. We should be able to give our tithe out of joy, out of gladness. And then we will get returns.
Becky, if I were to say to you, you've got to pray, what's the difference in that and me saying to you as your pastor, you get to pray? Come tell us.
Well, if I've got to pray, it's probably not going to do me any good, is it? But when I get to pray, it's a privilege, and God will listen to me.
Okay, good. I'm going to put Misty on the spot right here. What if I were to say to you, you've got to be nice to Chris? Or I say, you get to be nice to Chris. What is the difference?
Well, you're forgetting my attitude here, because usually when I'm told I have to do something, I do the exact opposite. So that's the stubborn in me coming out. But I get to be nice to Chris because I love him and I want to return the love that he gives me. I don't feel there is an obligation to be nice to my husband, but I don't do it because I'm married to him. I don't do it because I'm being told to, because he's my husband, but because I want to. There you go.
Go back to your seats. Thank you so much. Can we give them a good hand? The difference between got and get really is more than a vowel. It's more than an O. It's more than an E. It's an attitude change. I earnestly tried to find scripture in the New Testament that would sort of go along with this idea, but it's not there that uses the word got in any sense at all. It's not translated. But there are some must that are there. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Now, almost without exception, and I must have read probably 20 of these or so, when you see the word must in the New Testament, you could also translate that as a got to or a get to if you have the right attitude. Let me just share some of these verses with you and you make up your own mind. Now, all of these are translated from one root word, one Greek word. But in Matthew 24 and verse 6, we have this meaning given to us. He says in Matthew 24 and verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now you could almost put the word got in there, couldn't you? In the way we speak here in the South, you could almost say, these things have got to come to pass. But the end is not yet. Now, if you understand where we are in God's prophetic time schedule, it would be a privilege to get to know what has got to happen. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2. And look at this verse. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Jesus is 12 years old. I think he knows the difference between got and get. It's just translated here with the word must. Now, if you can learn this lesson, you will be spiritually happy. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Being questioned about his ministry as a 12-year-old, and his mother and father sort of upset with him, he responds with this verse, Luke 2:49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Would we not be correct if we were to say, did you not know that I've got to be about my father's business? In a sense of attitude, he could do nothing else. It was in his mind. He was propelled. He was moved forward. He was motivated and inspired. His attitude was, I must do this. It's like I will die if I don't do this. But could we not also apply the word get? Did you not know that I get to be about my father's business? Do you not know what a wonderful privilege and joy it is for me to do what I've been born to do? Turn the page with me, please. Luke chapter 4. And verse 43. Of the ministry of Christ, there was something that motivated him, that moved him, filled with the Spirit and power of God. Certain things he must do. Verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Because of this purpose I have been sent. Can't you just feel the anxiousness in his voice as he says, I must do this. I have to do this. I've got to do this. But I also get to do this. Now, when he preached, people responded. What a joy. I get to represent the God of heaven. It's not a chore to me. It is a privilege to me to heal the sick, to raise the dead, give sight to the blind, to restore the crippled. It was not something that he just got to do because he was the coming Messiah and he would rather be watching the Jerusalem soccer team. No. He felt a compulsion to do it because of his attitude. He wanted to do it. He gets to do it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And verse 30. We preached on this a few weeks ago. One of the miracles that happened in the book of Acts was when Paul and Silas was in prison, an earthquake came, and they were rescued from jail. And the man who was in charge of all the prisoners, he comes to them. Bring in a light. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas And in verse 30 of Acts chapter 16, the Bible says, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I wish I could find in the New Testament the translation "got" and "get," but it's not there. Translated "must," though, has the same meaning in context, doesn't it? The man in charge of the jail said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, you could go a wrong attitude with this. You could go down one wrong highway, and you will end up at a wrong destination. He could have said, "What do I got to do? What is the minimum requirement for me to be saved?" But that loses something in translation there. It doesn't really amplify the attitude. This man is lost. He knows that these men have something. He wants it. They're not just old men with a few changes. These have been men of sin who've been regenerated. They've been born again. They've been recreated. There's a spark in the eye, a gleam in their voice that says, "We've got the truth. We have it. We want to share it. We will give it to you." And this man says, "I want what you have. How can I get it?" What have I got to do? And you can put with it almost every time the privilege of getting. In your mind, you can change the reading from being a chore to being a wonderful action before God. Not that you have to do it, but it is a privilege for you to do that. Let me ask you a question. When you die, you go to sleep in Jesus, and you awake the coming of the Lord. And if the Lord tarries, all of us here must die. A young person might die. But every old person, myself and older, must die. Wouldn't it be nice to live to see Jesus come? That's what I'm hoping. But if he tarries, we must die. We've got to die. No, that's the wrong attitude, Stover. We get to die. Talk about a play on emotion. Let's look at some scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. And chapter 15. Is that in the Old Testament or the New? Okay, I can find it. I just know I can. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me begin reading with verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, when is this? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible has got to put on incorruption, and this mortal has got to put on immortality." Or could we have a change of attitude here? When we read this and it says "must," can we not read with the understanding and the attitude that for those who have died in the Lord, we get to rise up? doesn't that do something for you? At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are alive get to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. We get to follow those who get to be resurrected. Now, there is a must here. On the authority of Scripture, Jesus overcame sin, He conquered death, and that inheritance is passed to you. You, under privilege, get to experience the joy of that. Turn with me to the book of John. I cannot prove it from this passage, but I like to think that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, these words were formulated in such a way as to pass from generation to generation with tremendous meaning. It's like some passages of Scripture are just superlative. They just stand out above all others in recognition and power. In John chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Don't be in amazement, don't be in wonderment here that I tell you that you've got to be born again. But now, we're having an attitude change this morning, right? So, what's the word we might could substitute in here? Thank you, Lila. It's get. Do not marvel that I say to you that you get to be born again. It is something that is necessary. It is demanded, yes. But in that demand, he brings with it the privilege. It is your privilege to be born again. It is your joy to have something happen in your brain that changes your attitude, that gives you a hunger and a thirst for the basics of Christianity, just for the simple reading of Scripture and of praying. An attitude that says, I don't have to do those things, but it's my privilege and honor to get to do those things. John chapter 3 and verse 30. I know you thought I was going to John 3:16. I'm in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, I'm not trying to change the meaning of Scripture today. I'm trying to amplify it. It's not my intention to take anything away from translation. Not at all. It's my intention today to try to add a positive attitude change. And in verse 30, notice what happens between us and God. He says, Jesus must increase. If you explain joy in heaven and joy coming to those in heaven over one sinner that repents, if you look at the passage and you say, he gets to increase and I get to decrease. To me, it signals an attitude change in which we're letting go of self and letting the Lord Jesus come in. He gets to increase, and I get to decrease. I get the privilege of an attitude change that lets me love the unlovely, that lets me have victory over the anger in my life. Because of Him, I'm able to let go of the guilt in my life. Because of Him, if I live and see Jesus come, I get to be part of those who are caught up into the air. And if I should die before He comes, because of Him, I get to be resurrected. Turn with me to our last text for the day. It's over here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. As you are turning there today, there must be something happening in heaven. There could be angels assigned to be with us today as we sing our appeal song in just a couple of minutes. There could be some angels who have said, "Let me go, let me go, let me get to do this. Let me stand at the altar. Let me accompany so-and-so to the altar to be saved." Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is." Here's another one of those places where the word "got" and "get" and "must," the meaning is just all just woven in there together. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he or she who comes to God gets to believe that He is. And they get to believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." The only way to go from "got to" in an attitude of change to a privilege is through the presence of God in your mind. Do you believe? And in our way of explanation today, in the English language, we use the terminology, "Let Jesus come into your heart." The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. It's really understood as your mind. He wants to change the attitude of your mind, in which it gives us the change from "got to" enjoying the privilege of "I get." Would you like today to have Jesus Christ in your heart? Would you enjoy the privilege of being born again? Would you enjoy the attitude change from "I've got to stop doing this" to the attitude, "I will do whatever Jesus wants me to do because it is my privilege to do so"? Dear Lord, today we thank You for the privilege of salvation, for the privilege of getting to call upon Your name, for the privilege of claiming Your family name as a Christian. And we are thankful for all the benefits that we get to claim because we are related to You. Please, Lord, continue the change of attitude in our mind from that which we've got to do into that which we get to do as a privilege. In Jesus' name.